All right, good morning. Today is Thursday, August 7th, 2008. My name is Allison Page. I'm with the UW-Madison Oral History Program. And this morning I will be interviewing Mr. Charles Gerhards about his experiences at the U.S. Forest Products Lab. Mr. Gerhards, if you would like to just maybe start by telling us your name, giving us a brief background on maybe when and where you were born.
Okay, Charles C. Gerhards, that's my official name, and I was born in near a place called Loring, L-O-R-I-N-G, Kansas, but Loring does not exist anymore, it's just a crossing, road crossing, a railroad track. I was born in what was called the Bottoms, and my parents had a small house there that my dad had built, and I was born in 1930, mm-hmm. and we lived there for probably 3 years or so of my life, and then we moved up to his mother's farm, which was up a bluff, and lived there another year or so, and then we lost whatever we had in the Depression and moved to Kansas City. Lived there a year, then moved to Topeka, Kansas, where I went through grade school, no kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And then after grade school, we went to Portland, Oregon, because my dad and oldest brother, got a job in the shipbuilding war effort. And then I spent my high school years there, and then I was doing odd jobs, and sometimes I didn't have a job for 4 years, and then I went to the University of Portland, where I got a degree in general engineering. And then I started work for General Electric and worked for them for 5 years. And the job I was working on was a government contract, and it was canceled, and so the story really begins there with FPL.
Okay. When did you get your degree from University of Portland?
1956.
Okay. So then you moved immediately from university to General Electric then?
Yes.
Okay. And was there anything in your early childhood that kind of sparked an interest in forest products or wood sciences? Did you ever have that kind of interest before?
No, I didn't. However, my dad was a carpenter, and my oldest brother was a carpenter for a while, and they contracted to build a house when I graduated from high school. I was 17 and worked for them for 2 months. I had become a carpenter apprentice, and then I worked for somebody that builds houses, speculator, building houses, and I got laid off from there, and I had applied for, or I had taken a test for a post office job, and that same day I got a letter in the mail saying I had a job there, so I went there. And so anyway, I was familiar with wood, and getting on the Forest Products Lab was just a happenstance. I didn't even know it existed. Okay?
Okay. Well, kind of along those lines, how did you hear about the position that you eventually took at the Forest Products Lab?
Well, it was out in Idaho, and there were a bunch of people that came from different companies, corporations, to interview engineers and scientists for potential jobs. And Bob Youngs, who was from the Forest Products Lab, came, and I signed up to interview with him. My wife had spent some time in La Crosse, Wisconsin, so she was a little familiar with Wisconsin. I'd never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And the alternatives weren't as enticing And so I agreed to come to work at the Forest Products Lab, not knowing that Bob Youngs was going to be my project leader. I thought he was a recruiter.
What were your initial impressions of Mr. Youngs?
He was a quiet man, straightforward, and he was good. I didn't realize he had a doctorate, but anyway, that all came out later when I arrived at Forest Products Lab.
And what year was that you moved out here?
1961, in June.
So, in 1961, you moved out here, and what was the position that you accepted at Forest Products Lab?
I was, I can't remember the exact title, but I know in a year or two, I was called a research general engineer.
Okay.
And really, that was my title all the way through then.
Okay. Do you have any memories or first impressions of the first couple days, months, years while you were at the lab?
Well, my first impression was that I was surprised that I was going to be working for Bob Youngs. And so we met in his office, and he explained, he actually gave me a tour of the area, the lab. The engineering lab, and I can't remember about the rest of the building, but and then he had a project that he wanted me to work on, and the first thing was the effect of a couple of different chemicals on the strength of wood as small beams. And I also didn't know anything about the science of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a good wood handbook, had first been written in 1935, and then it was revised later and several times after that, too. And that was the first thing that I read through, and I studied, learned all I could about wood.
Mm-hmm.
And I had other articles to read to study up on wood, and so I spent a lot of time doing that rather than actually doing any research.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose maybe it was 3 months before I really got into it. So that's my early memories.
Was the Wood Handbook, was that a publication at the Forest Products Lab, or?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Nobody has mentioned it to you in your interviews?
I think one person did, actually, and I wasn't sure if that was a publication of the lab or not.
Well, let's see, how would it be? It was written by laboratory people, but I suppose it would be a USDA publication.
Okay. Besides Mr. Youngs, who else were you working with at this early point?
Well, being an engineer, I was supposed to plan studies, research studies, and then have technicians do the actual work on testing the wood for strength and related properties. And each scientist really worked pretty much alone. So I had a couple of technicians to do my work, and of course there were interactions between the scientists, and particularly in Wood Engineering Division, that's what it was called at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but really, we pretty much worked on our own projects.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if I had questions, I could go to Bob Youngs and get some help from him.
Mm-hmm. So after this 3 month kind of introductory period, what kinds of projects did you start to work on more actively?
First, I worked on the effect of chemicals on strength of wood, and then there were some projects on individual engineering properties of a couple of species of wood that were collected out west, and somebody had started that project and got promoted to a job in Washington, D.C., so it never got finished. So my assignment was to finish that project, and that involved analyzing the data and writing a report. So I eventually moved. Well, I did other species, studying the engineering properties of other species, some from Hawaii, and did the same thing, you know, wrote up reports. Mm-hmm. Other things I worked on later were involved the effect of temperature and moisture content on strength properties of wood, and it involved kiln drying at high temperatures. I also studied defects. I'll call them defects, but they're really natural. When you cut up trees, you end up getting some lumber with knots in them, and I studied the effect of knots, knot sizes on the strength of wood, and eventually, I'm really moving on in my career. Eventually, I got involved in long-time loading effects, and this involved loading beans up with a certain amount of load and leaving the load on until the wood failed over time. All the other tests that I'd worked on were done on machines that increased the load at a steady rate until the specimen broke in about 1 to 5 minutes, say. But these went on, some of the specimens that were loaded at design loads, and a few of them failed before 10 years, but some never failed in a 10-year and in a 12-year time period. So that's really, in a nutshell, the type of work that I did there. I had to learn statistics. I didn't have that in college. And then, of course, well, you had other questions that I see are coming up.
Okay.
Just wait for that.
All right. With some of these projects that you worked on, did they ever take you away from the office? And if so, where did you go?
Well, I had two reasons for going away. One was to give speeches at conferences on properties of wood. And I didn't go on a whole lot of those, particularly at first, because I was not expert. And so later on in my career, I went to several, and they took me in different places in the United States. I also was involved in going out into the field, actually in the forest, with another researcher, Al Benson, maybe you've talked to him, to collect sample logs from various areas of Douglas fir for shipment back to the laboratory for a study that somebody else was doing. Mm-hmm. And I also went to sawmills to select lumber for some of my research studies. I was after specific types of lumber with certain characteristics, and I went to a couple different places for that. I did go to Vancouver, British Columbia, to meet with people who were working in the same low duration field that I was in, and I also designed some machines. machines to test, well, lumber and bending and as beams and also as tension members. And so those were my primary reasons for going away from the lab. Mm-hmm.
Any memorable travel events?
Do I remember them?
Well, any that stand out particularly in your mind? Some that were more exciting than others or more interesting?
Not specifically. The ones that I went to, I was there to give speeches, and a lot of the stuff there I was not particularly interested in. A few were of interest, of course. I remember going to the lumber mill in, it was Texas, and selecting lumber for studying high temperature effects on southern pine. Well, and then another one, I remember going out to Oregon, and I can't remember the specific place, to select a lot of 2x4s for my long-time loading studies. And I had specific characteristics, again, that I was looking for there. Those were the field work things. So far as the conferences, my first one was in Washington, D.C., when the Martin Luther King big event was, and I think that was 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some of that.
I bet that was really interesting.
Yes. I was involved in setting up a couple of conferences, one on high temperature drying, and that was held in Virginia, and then, I think that was held at the lab, and I was also involved in one on long time loading effects in Virginia. Those two are memorable because I helped organize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's about it.
Okay.
There are some people that got to travel a lot, and they actually made speeches, general speeches, that told about the laboratory and summarized a lot of research efforts, but I never was involved in that.
Okay. Well, your work here at the lab itself, could you maybe describe a typical day while you were at the lab?
I would have to say the most typical day would be I would be sitting in my office, either planning research or evaluating data,
mm-hmm.
Or writing reports. Less typical was when I went out to the engineering laboratory and actually observed a test being conducted. And I like to observe because I wanted to be sure the technicians were doing what I wanted. In that regard, I'd like to mention a couple of people. Their names probably won't come up, but one was Roy Peen, and I think his last name was spelled P-E-E-N. And the machines that we had when I first went there were mechanical, electric driven by motors and gears, but you had to record the data manually, and he was the only person that I ever come across who could sit and watch the two different load and the device that recorded deflection, and he could plot them on a graph, and he's the only one that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how most of the data was eventually done. It was plotted on graphs, and various calculations were made from the data on the graph. And other technicians required, other people required two people, one recording the data and the other one running, running the machine. The other technician I'd like to mention is Mary Doran, D-O-R-A-N, and she was excellent at the job she did. I could trust her to be 100% accurate in the data that she recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she was a technician?
Yes, she was a technician too.
Okay. Were there a lot of female technicians there?
No, there weren't.
No.
There were a couple of women that probably were technicians during the World War II, but they were in an office, and they actually were responsible for all these graphs.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about and calculating data from them, and then the data from them actually went up to another unit that summarized the things in a format that I wanted things summarized.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the names of those two ladies. I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. Did you work with Mary Doran very long?
In so far as research or scientists and technicians worked, yes, quite a few years. Roy P., not as long because he was older and he eventually retired. I can't tell you the year. But Mary Doran was still there when I retired.
Okay. Was there one job or project that gave you a lot of satisfaction? If so, maybe why was that?
Well, the most challenging job I had was the last that I had on effective load duration on strength of wood. And I developed a theory and eventually analyzed the data with that theory and got... I don't know, a few publications out of it. The last one actually was probably 10 years after I retired. I had followed the project, as this is a volunteer, and when the project was done, well, I actually called it. I had planned the loads to be on for 10 years, and it had been went 12 and a half, and then I told the technicians that it was time to quit it, and so I analyzed the data on that on my own at home, and eventually wrote a final report on it. So probably got published 13, 14 years after I retired.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most challenging project and the one that I enjoyed most working on.
Did you do a lot of publications?
Well, I had quite a few. I really can't tell you how many. Certainly not as many as some of the people in the pulp and paper and the wood chemistry field. But I felt I did pretty good with a Bachelor of Science degree. Probably did as well as a lot of the people that had PhDs. Just bragging a little bit, you don't get down.
Well, maybe kind of switching gears from your work to other aspects of the lab. What was the social atmosphere at the lab like? Who were some memorable colleagues that you worked with? I know you mentioned a couple. And were there any social activities that you could take part in as a lab employee?
Yes, there were. There was an annual picnic that many people went to, not everyone. In fact, maybe only a quarter or a third showed up, but that was one. I did bowl in the Forest Products League 1 year, and I didn't like being subjected to all of the cigarette and cigar smoke that hung in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't bowl anymore. I was not a golfer at the time, so I didn't go with the people that were golfing as groups in Forest Products Lab.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Of course, there were little parties, you know, like 15-minute parties given when somebody had a birthday.
Yeah.
And sometimes they were lab-wide if the person had been there a long time and had been through several jobs. But most of the time, it was just in small groups.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, for many years we had to take an hour's time for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And some people played cards, like there was a group that played cribbage, and I wasn't into that. There were some table tennis tables, and I played that. And so there were a group of us played that, and others played cards, and others just went wherever, I don't know.
Well, table tennis sounds like a fun activity for lunch.
Yes, it was. That was about it. There were some other things that, well, they really weren't connected with the lab, so I won't mention.
Okay. As an employee, did you ever get a chance to work with the university, with any students from the university?
Oh, dear. I know I can't think of any specific time. Might have been some student that came over, and but I you know, I really can't remember that.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. When maybe kind of moving towards the end of your career at Forest Products Lab. When and why did you decide to retire from FPL?
Okay, I'd had 25 years in, and let's see, is that federal service maybe? Counting some post office time. Anyway, in 1986, the laboratory employees that had enough time were given a chance to take what's called an early out. Have you heard that term?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And there were some things coming up that made me decide to go ahead and decide to retire February 1st, 1986. I was reluctant to do it in one respect, but not in a lot of others.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage for me to do that was, well, I could go and do my own thing. You know, I didn't have to worry about reporting to anybody, write reports and things like that. And also, at the time, if you accumulate it, and no, I'm wrong. Oh, I know what it is. That's another thing that one could use, but we paid into a retirement fund, and up to the, well, about a year later, or during, no, it was during 1986 in July, the law was changed about how one could account for the retirement monies.
Mm-hmm.
We paid taxes on that money too, as we earned it, and so we could draw down that credit, the retirement money that we had contributed, and not have to pay income taxes on it. So I decided that I was going to take advantage of that. So I think I had a year and a half worth that I didn't have to pay taxes on. If I'd waited until July, or retired after July, then there was a proportioning thing. You couldn't claim it all right away, and so that was really the primary reason. Well, those two primary reasons: one, I just wanted to be my own boss, and the other was to take advantage of not having to pay income tax for mm-hmm. a year and a half. And however, I still had work that wasn't finished at the laboratory besides this 10-year loading thing. And I talked to the director, and he agreed that I could work there for another year as a temporary employee. So the income I got from my retirement was offset the income that I could get as a temporary employee. So I really got paid from two different sources, but I made the same amount of money as I had made in 1986. And so I stayed on an extra year, finished my project, and officially was done.
Mm-hmm.
We were on 1987. But my official retirement date was February 1, 1986.
Okay. And since retirement, what have you been doing? Have you been maintaining any sort of relationship with people at the lab?
Not very many. I never felt strongly drawn to go back and visit people at the lab. I did a few times, but I know there were other people that left the lab and they came back and came to talk, and you know, they wasted your time, but they wanted to come back and visit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they maybe spend a half an hour, but I didn't do that. I went back when there was a specific reason, and I did keep in contact with a few people. I went backpacking with two of the people that had been at the lab. One was Hank Montrey, M-O-N-T-R-E-Y.
I've heard of him.
He had transferred to Fort Collins, and so, wait a minute. Maybe confused in the time. He had transferred to Fort Collins, but then he went to work for Weyerhaeuser in Tacoma, Washington, too. Anyway, John Zerbe, Z-E-R-B-E, and I and Hank Montrey and some other people that he knew went backpacking in the Olympic Peninsula together. I was to go on a ride the Rockies bicycle trip. It was a week's effort with Hank Montrey, but he fell off his bike and broke his arm about 2 weeks before, so he couldn't go.
Oh, no.
I went with that 2,400 500 people minus two. There was a thing you had to draw for to get chosen because there's too many people applied. It was limited to 2,500 people. But anyway, I went to stay with him, and he drove me to the starting point, and then I stayed with him before I came back home. But with John Zerbe, I did some other backpacking with him a couple of times, and we still walk together on Saturdays, take hikes. We used to take real long ones. We still go about every Saturday. We miss a few. And we just got done camping with some older people about 3 weeks ago, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dave Green, have you got that name down there?
Yeah, the name sounds familiar.
Hey, I also am a volunteer at Donald Park. It's a county park.
Mm-hmm.
Up by Mount Vernon. And I've been doing that for, maybe 6 years now. I got started by another employee, Bob Geimer, G-E-I-M-E-R. He's retired. In fact, we used to live about a quarter of a mile from each other out in the country. And so after Dave Green retired, I saw him and his wife one day walking on a bike trail and stopped and talked to him. And I mentioned I was a volunteer, and lo and behold, he showed up the next time we met. So he's been coming too. We do it once a week, Tuesday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see him frequently.
That's great.
And I have seen some of the people at retirement lunches. I don't intend to go to those anymore. Let's see, what else? This was in general. What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did a lot of jogging in my when I was in my 40s. And I ran one marathon when I was 43. Did a lot of bicycle riding. And I still do some bicycle riding, but I'm out walking almost every day. I took up golf about 10 years ago and enjoy that. In fact, I golfed with a lady that was at the Forest Products Lab many years ago named Judy Kent, K-E-N-T. She was in town visiting with other people and came out with Mary Jane Klein, K-L-E-I-N. So I had a round of golf with those two ladies. I see Mary Jane Klein frequently when we golf. We're in the same, we belong in the same organization.
Mm-hmm.
I could mention more about her. She and Esther Vetter, V-E-T-T-E-R, were typists, and they typed before computers came into vogue. They did all the typing of the reports, the rough drafts, and then the final drafts, and she was one of them. So let's see. Well, I did a lot of work out in the country. We had 10 acres out there, and I planted a lot of trees on it, and I pruned spruce and pine trees that I had planted, and mowed a lot, and we had a lot of gardening, and cut down trees and cut up logs for firewood, and I actually had some logs that took to lumber mill and had lumber made. So I built some furniture, and I enjoyed doing things like that. So then in 2003, I talked my wife into moving into Verona, and so we did, and so here we are. We live in a smaller house, and that takes me about 45 minutes to mow my lawn instead of 2 hours.
Great. Well, I just have a couple more just general questions. This kind of applies more to your reflections on your work. Do you feel that your work has left a mark on the Forest Products Lab, the USDA Forest Service, or even beyond that?
Well, yes, to some extent. Supposedly, my research, I think supposedly because I don't know for sure, but it would get incorporated into the design properties of engineering design properties of wood. That would be done by ASTM or another organization. So from that standpoint, yes. I certainly know that people have referred to some of my reports when they write reports, and I know some of the people I have talked to at the lab said they asked about my work, and so there is something there. I guess that's about all I can say about that.
Okay. And in terms of the Forest Service, which is the higher body of the Forest Products Lab, how do you feel about having worked for or with an agency that's part of the U.S. Forest Service?
Oh, I think it was great. I'm very glad that I took that job instead of taking something else that would have taken me to, say, to Washington or somewhere else, or Cleveland. And it was not a mistake. I enjoyed my work at the lab, and I think the Forest Service at the time was well looked upon, and maybe still is. I never knew about the Forest Products Lab until I was interviewed for the job. I knew about the Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come across some Forest Service employees some of my times when I was out in the woods some places. I guess that pretty well summarizes it.
Mm-hmm.
I had good feelings about the Forest Service.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, what do you think the general public's view of the Forest Products Lab has been, and do you think that has changed over time?
Well, the Forest Products Lab is unique. It's world known with people who work in the forest products industry, and in the United States, of course, it is too. But I suspect there's a lot of people at lumber mills and other places that work with wood that don't know about Forest Products Lab. It's a special lab, and it's probably the same thing could be said for other government laboratories. People don't know about them because they don't work in that field. So I suspect there's pretty good percentage of people that live in the Madison area that never heard of Forest Products Lab. So you have to be in the field to know about it.
In terms of maybe your personal goals, do you feel that the Forest Products Lab has helped you meet any of your personal or professional goals, or helped you accomplish things that you had wanted to as you set out in a career, and if so, how?
Oh dear. Well, when I first set out, I thought it would be in electronics, and things didn't turn out that way. I didn't have enough background for it, for one thing, and I didn't have didn't take differential equations, which wasn't really encouraged when I went to school. And so because of lack of, you know, some courses that would have helped, I never really developed that desire. And it was just happenstance that I ended up doing research on wood. Just happenstance. I had never, in the wildest imagination, dreamed that I would do something like that. There were some government jobs when I graduated that I could have worked for the Bonneville Power Administration and some others, Bureau of Public Roads. But I had worked summer jobs for Bureau of Public Roads a couple of years when I was going to college. But I decided that I didn't want to work for the government. And so that's why I went to work for General Electric. And then when the project was canceled that a bunch of us were working on, well, the government seemed a little bit better. At least it was stable, and that's what attracted me to it. So that's not a very good answer to your question, but that's all I can give you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Well, that's kind of the end of my questions. Do you have any other stories, memories, or comments about your time at the Forest Products Lab that you would like to record for posterity?
Wow, do you get responses from that?
Oh, sure. Comments maybe about your time?
When I first went there, there were like 420 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And the new engineers and wood scientists had the share offices, so I had an office with Al Benson for a while. And I was a smoker and he wasn't, and I suppose somehow or other he may have suggested to somebody that, but anyway, I got moved to a different office and I was with two other people, three people in one office. And so that was kind of the status, unless you were a long time researcher and well known,
mm-hmm.
You were two or three people to an office. So it was several years before I got an office of my own. And Bob Young went on to better things. I don't remember how many years he was my project leader. Probably not very many, maybe five. And I don't know if my phone is giving me a signal. Looks like the battery's good.
Okay.
And then Bob Ethington, you know the name?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, he became project leader. And, I wanted to say, well, you know the story of Bob Young's probably. And then Bob Ethington was my project leader for a number of years. Bill Galligan became my project leader for a few years. And then I was assigned to Joel Murphy's group. It was a project created that involves, oh shoot, well, long time loading, yeah, and other things. And so those people were not exactly my bosses, but it's people I had to report to. And oh, let's see, there, one thing that we had, Joe Liska, you know the name?
I don't think so.
Oh, he was a division chief, Wood Engineering Division Chief, L-I-S-K-A, and I'm not sure, he might still be alive, but I'm not sure. But he used to have a project meeting, it seemed like it was every Tuesday for an hour or so. They'd get everybody, get together and go around the room and ask people if they had any input to give, and a lot of people didn't. It just seemed like a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it did get us all to know each other a little bit. Then when he retired, Bill Bohannon became division chief, and he pretty much done away with those meetings. But, oh, there was another thing, too. Each project had to give reports to the division chief individually.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of us scientists would update the projects that we were working on and progress we were making and plans for the future and that sort of thing.
You mentioned the story of Bob Young's. Is that something that you had already talked about, or is that something else?
Well, I would expect that you've already gotten the information on him. He had a PhD, and he ended up going to Washington, D.C. for a job, and worked there for several years, and then he came back as director of the Forest Products Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And he was that, and I'm wondering if he wasn't that until he retired, and then he went to Virginia or West Virginia, where he got a job directing something. I can't tell you what, but he's still alive. Somebody must have interviewed him. Any particular stories? You know, I really can't come up with something.
Okay. Well, do you have any final comments about your time at the lab that you would like to make?
Well, it was a good place to work. And I was given the chance to work on my own thing. Well, somebody's trying to call, but that's okay. The idea that you can do your own thing, make your own plans, and not be bossed by others, that I thought was good. So I guess that's about it.
Okay.
Division chief, when Joe Liska was division chief, Wayne Lewis was the an engineer, gosh, some names I just can't remember.
Well,
I'll let it go at that.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I reviewed papers submitted to some of the wood science publications. And I took that task seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And and I was probably more critical than most reviewers. I think I did help some people, you know, make some changes in reports that maybe would not have been made if somebody else had reviewed the reports. Mm-hmm. I didn't do a lot of that, but I did do some, and I did enjoy editing, and I think I was pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm. Was there a high emphasis on publications at the lab?
Oh, yes. Yes, that was the main main output for the laboratory, publications, scientific publications. There were a lot of publications that were done by the Forest Service or USDA heading under those headings, but also it would be like Forest Products Lab, Forest Service, USDA, and but there were a lot of papers published in scientific journals too. Many of mine were in a couple of different scientific publications. Research that I was doing on the fundamental properties of wood early on in my career, they were mostly government publications. Okay, well, I enjoyed